Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia, that's Mr. Media. There are more than 60,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. By the way, Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and home of the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, which pays the salary of newspaper blogger Jim Romanesco, who spends all of his free time reading Mr. Media for news tips in St. Petersburg, Florida. Jim Gaines and I have lots in common. We both have popular blogs on TrueSlant.com, for example, about media topics. We both converted from typewriters to computers at one point in our careers. And, of course, we both were once editor of Time, Life, and People magazines. Ah, jeez. Hold the presses. Wait a minute. Will somebody get a fact checker in here? I don't think this is right. When was I editor of People? Who writes this stuff anyway? You know, you just can't get good help these days on what Google AdSense and Amazon Associates pay, you know? Man. Well, look, I do know this. Since leaving the print world, Jim Gaines has been in a couple of interesting online media situations. His latest is as editor of Flip. Yep, it's with a Y where you're expecting to find an I, which he calls a proof-of-concept experiment in digital storytelling. You can see it for yourself at www.flipmedia.com. And shortly, I'll force him to explain what that means under threat of a lifetime editorial consulting and personal services contract with the New York Post. Jim Gaines, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. I don't know who wrote that nonsense about me being editor of People. The Time and Life stuff, that was correct, but I never edited People.
What can I say?
Listen, before we get into anything more important, I saw news this morning that Michael Kinsley has been named to the Editors Hall of Fame. There's an Editors Hall of Fame?
Well, yeah, it's kind of news to me, too. Actually, it's not news to me. I know that there is an Editors Hall of Fame. I'm not sure exactly what the auspices of the Editors Hall of Fame is. I think it might be ASME, the American Society of Magazine Editors. But if anyone deserves to be there, surely Michael does.
But when you get nominated or chosen for the Editors Hall of Fame, I mean, do they get to edit their own induction notice? I mean, how, you know?
I really wouldn't know. I mean, nobody's ever asked me to belong to the Editors Hall of Fame.
I can think of several editors over the years who I might put in the A-holes Hall of Fame, but I don't know.
So can I, actually.
The Editors Hall of Fame. I mean, I don't mean to get too far off track with that, but as I was preparing to talk to you, I saw that and I thought, oh my God, I got to ask you about this.
Well, I don't really. I suspect it has something to do with people who can fill the seats at a luncheon.
Oh man, touche.
Well, I think that usually these things do have something to do with that.
Wow. I like that answer. Whether it's correct or not, I love that answer. All right, well, let's change gears a little bit. Let's talk about the latest Jesus machine, Apple's iPad. Is it much ado about, well, what exactly?
Well, I think it's much ado about something. I don't think that the iPad itself is the killer device, but I think the descendants of the iPad will be. I'm sure you've been talking a lot about and thinking a lot about the fact that print is, you know, turning blue, and that content is migrating to the broadband world, and the iPad is the first real device that can deliver multimedia content that's satisfying. I mean, it, You know, it's the Kindle clearly can't do it. The Sony e-reader can't do it. The various tablets that could have done it haven't had the robust platform that the Apple iPad does, nor the beautiful screen, and nor the sort of lean back quality that the iPad does. I mean, the iPad has been is kind of a descendant of the iPhone in the sense that it's clearly a media delivery device, and tablets up to now have been kind of crypto computers, and you know with styluses and Microsoft Word and the sort of traditional computer functionality. This is really a media device. It's really something that you could sit on your sofa with and spend time with. I don't think you'll use the iPad or its descendants the way we use the internet today, which is to say, I need to know something right now. I know what it is, and I'm going to do a quick search for it, find it, use it, and do something else. This is going to be something where you're more like a book or a movie that you know you're going to be spending some time with. And so it's a place for engagement and time spent with media the way we now spend it with print. I think that's the promise of that device and the descendants of that device.
Jim, have you actually had the opportunity to handle one yet?
I haven't. I'm looking forward to it, but so no. But I'm basing what I'm saying on what I've seen of it. I mean, what I've seen of it online.
It looks like the most awkward device imaginable for someone who's thinking of a traditional computer. I mean, clearly nobody's going to use one of those to write anything longer than a haiku, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the keyboard that's on the screen is going to be very difficult to use. And, you know, I don't think you want to buy a device like that with a Bluetooth keyboard. It just doesn't make much sense. You're not going to use that the way you would use a computer.
Hmm. And here's the thing that I'm puzzled about a lot of things. Trust me, we could spend all day on things I'm puzzled about. But in the case of the iPad and actually the Kindle, I can't figure out for the life of me why Amazon, with the lead time it had on the Kindle and the devotion of people who use it, why they didn't beat Apple out with a media player as part of that device. I mean, wouldn't that seem like a natural next step for the Kindle?
Actually, yeah, but the technology is completely different, and Apple's really very far ahead of where Amazon is. And the Kindle, as you know, I'm sure having been an early adapter of it, was a really lame device. I mean, it's great. I use it all the time, and I love it. But in terms of its design, its user experience, its just design as a machine, it's lousy. I mean, it's just nothing like what Apple can create. And it's e-ink, so it's extremely limited. I mean, it doesn't do multimedia, period. And I don't think that's not Amazon. That's not where Amazon is.
I can support that. That was the thing that puzzled me about it. You can subscribe. You can purchase a subscription to Mr. Media Radio, Mr. Media Interviews, for the Kindle Blogger from Kindle Kindle Blog Store.
Right.
But that only gives you access to the introductions. You can't listen to the interviews. And
you're kidding.
I was actually surprised that they approved Mr. Media for the Kindle blog program when clearly you were not going to be able to play the audio. And I thought,
That doesn't make any sense.
But,
I mean, Amazon does do audio, so I don't understand why that would be a limitation.
I don't know. It's an odd thing.
Well, yeah.
So here's a closer to home. Is the iPad, a lot of people have written about this and opined, is the iPad going to save the newspaper and magazine subscription business?
No. Yeah. But here's what might save – I'm sorry. Excuse me. Here's what might save another revenue stream – the other revenue stream – for magazines especially and newspapers as well, and that is rich media advertising. I mean, there is beautiful multimedia advertising being created in advertising agencies today, but it can't live on the web in the atmosphere of banner ads because it's too beautiful, and it's an engagement experience. It's sort of like, you know, a beautiful suit is a beautiful suit, but you don't wear a beautiful suit on the beach. And that's how rich media advertising feels in a traditional web, print web environment. Whereas if you look at what iPad's capable of, and when you look at magazines as magazine prototypes that are created for it, like the Sports Illustrated one or more recently the Interview magazine prototype from Condé Nast, not Condé Nast. Who is it? Anyway, Interview magazine's just come out with an iPad prototype. It's perfect for this kind of rich media advertising, which has never made it to the web. I mean, and this is the kind of advertising that magazines like Time and People were built on. It's brand messages, brand building advertising that relies on the relationship between the reader and the publisher. And that relationship has been disintermediated by the web, but it will be reintermediated in a rich media storytelling environment like the one that the iPad makes possible. I don't expect that. I think that's going to happen more slowly than some people would wish and more quickly than others might fear, but it's going to happen. And I think that's when you'll see the kind of high-margin advertising that's kept magazines afloat for so long start to support magazine content on the web.
By the way, just to interject, I want to point out to our listeners that Jim's been having trouble clearing his throat ever since I mentioned that Michael Kinsley had been chosen for the Magazine Hall of Fame. I don't want to draw a direct connection, but I have noticed in the course of the conversation that you can take it right back to that point. And
I'm sorry about that.
Can't seem to get that phlegm up.
No, Michael's a really good guy, and he's a friend of mine.
And I don't know. I mean, I know who he is, but I don't know him personally. So we're just having fun. Yeah. Just
no, he's a good
all.
Guy.
Is rich media advertising? Could it be to news organizations online what color print advertising was to newspapers and magazines a generation ago? I mean, that really changed the game there.
Yeah, I think you could say that. I think that's very appropriate. You know, there was brand advertising in magazines though before color. So I think what it really is this is like the creation of magazines was for advertising. I mean, it provides a space where people curl up. That's what the iPad really does is provide a curl up experience for the broadband user. Not a lean forward experience, but a lean back experience, an experience in which you expect to spend some time. Mm-hmm. It's not utilitarian. You're not going there the way you turn on a light switch and expect electricity. You're going there to spend some time to be entertained, to be engaged, and that's the environment an advertiser is willing to pay for. So I don't suspect that the business model is going to be affected on the circulation side so much as it is on the advertising side.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, please. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say I also think that magazines and newspapers are not going to be the killer product for the iPad. But I don't think, you know, it goes back to what you said earlier. We could spend the whole day talking about what I don't know. I think that the truth is, although everybody's trying to tell everybody everything about what's going to be the future in terms of media, nobody knows anything. I think that's never been truer than it is today about media. I think really it's going to be years before we know exactly what the great new products are going to be for the devices and the universe in which those devices exist. We just don't know enough about how people are going to use these devices, what place they're going to, what role they're going to play in their lives and what the devices themselves will be like. I mean, I'm hoping that eventually there will be an iPad that curls up and folds into your pocket and that you can, you know, download content at a, you know, at every Starbucks or something. I mean, I don't think that a rigid pad like the iPad is going to be ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we're waiting for is the device that will be.
It's that first first iPod or that first iPhone. It's the Lisa of its generation, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. I was going to ask you, but when I asked you before about whether the iPad would save newspapers and magazines, what I really meant to say is news organizations, because I think most of us have written off newspapers and magazines as kind of yesterday's news and yesterday's delivery system.
Honestly, I think the new companies are going to grow up. And, you know, I wrote in my former life, which isn't so long ago, I wrote a book about the American and French revolutions and how they related to each other. And the lesson that I apply to this situation with regard to news organizations is that large property holders don't make very good revolutionaries. And we're in a revolutionary environment. This is not a reform environment. This is something entirely transformative is going on. And we really can't, I think that news organizations are too focused, as they must be, on their core businesses to really be imaginative enough to define the new world.
Mm-hmm.
They just got too much at stake in the old one.
Jim, I think we've got a call on the line for you. Do you mind taking a call?
Not at all.
All right. Hi, calling from New York. I think you have a question or comment for Jim Gaines?
Yes. Mr. Gaines, I was calling because there's so many iPad-like items coming out on the market, and I want to purchase one, but I can wait. When do you think, you know, we're going to get a level where at least one format will be the leader?
Good question.
Well, I think the iPad is going to be the leader for the indefinite future. I can't see. I personally, I wouldn't wait. I would go ahead and get an iPad, and I plan to. But maybe that's just me. I am a little closer to this than most people are. But I think the iPad's probably going to be, well, there'll probably be a second-generation iPad within a year, and it'll probably have a lot of functionality that the first iPad doesn't have, at least if the reports of the iPad functionality are correct. I mean, people are saying it won't have a web camera, doesn't handle Flash. I don't know what the next iPad will be like. Microsoft Courier has a beautiful machine coming out, and I guess I'd probably advise waiting till you see that. As I said before, nobody really knows anything. I think that the iPad is from Apple's history, iPad is going to be pretty unbeatable for a while. But I think for the device that I'm really waiting for, it could be a decade.
Oh, okay. Well, I had the honor of seeing you up at Columbia University, and I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed seeing you.
Well, thank you very much. That was
and
a pleasure.
And did you, I just tuned in a little late, but did you talk about your new venture? Because I was looking to hear a little bit more about that.
We're just getting to that. Stay tuned.
Oh, okay. I'll hang up. Sorry. Bye.
That's all right. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Bye, Ms.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut her off as she was saying goodbye. And before, I do want to ask you about Flip, but I got to ask you one other thing. Has anyone ever told you that if Spy Magazine were still doing Separated by Birth, that you and Bill Mitchell from the Poynter Institute would match up pretty well?
Really? No, I had no idea.
Yeah, we'll have to get some side-by-side pictures.
Well, what can I say?
Interesting. I don't know if you know Bill, but good
no,
guy.
No, I don't. I don't.
He runs the online side at Poynter. Good guy. But you guys could definitely be separated by birth. Separated at birth. So I've been to the Flip site. It's very interesting. It's kind of a multimedia magazine of sorts, but there's more to it. Do you want to explain it better than I can?
Yeah, well, Flip is as you said, it's a proof of concept product that shows what digital storytelling can be like. I've been working there for 2 years, and we've done, you know, hundreds of stories on everything from politics to the arts, and fortunately we had a wonderful benefactor in a Mexican industrialist named Alfonso Romo, who just said, try to do the most beautiful work you can, and but do it biweekly and do 10 stories every other week. So
is that right?
With 12 people, yeah. So we were kind of busy, but we did some wonderful work, and it's still up there, and will be up there for the foreseeable future, I hope. And I think it does give hints, although I think, you know, every startup is, you know, they're not enough people and everybody's dead tired, and it's production values aren't what you want, and things aren't, you know, there's never enough time to do the exact right job. But I think we've given a direction for storytelling in the digital multimedia world that I intend to follow in the business that I've started up more recently than that, which is called Story River Media here in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first time I saw Flip, I thought, this is it. This is the – I thought I was finished with magazines, having done Time, Life, and People. And I took several years off and wrote books and really thought I was finished with magazines until I saw Flip. And I flipped, as it were, and thought, of course, this is what you can do. You can use – you know, video and audio and infographics and animation all at once to tell a story. And why would a storyteller, which is what I've been all my career, not want to work with all those arrows in your quiver? And why work in paragraphs and words when you can work in all media at once? And it was very, very satisfying work. I must say I had a ball doing it.
I want to apologize because I just as you were mentioning this, I realized that I actually had an email here describing your new venture, and I guess I had looked at TrueSlant.com, which still refers to you as the editor at Flip, and I got my new ventures confused. So
oh,
my
that's
apologies
okay.
to you.
No, not at all. I mean, Flip is a pretty new venture.
But you're out of Flip, is that right?
I am. Yeah. I am. I'm starting up my own venture in Washington, which has got a somewhat different model. The model for Story River Media is that we are trying to undertake commercial and non-commercial work. Corporations, NGOs, government agencies, and pro bono journalism funded by those commercial jobs. Mm-hmm. To further the arts and crafts of digital storytelling, and to further the job, which I think is going to be critical in this new world, and which the Apple iPad really doesn't address, of collaboration, how to create two-way conversations around stories, sort of the way Google Wave does. Mm-hmm. But in the context of the platform that we're doing the storytelling in. That's a very confusing statement, but trust me, it's a very compelling model.
Well, where can people – is it too soon for folks to look for Story River?
It is, yeah, it is. It's just,
okay, so
it's just
– no,
we're not even taking contracts yet.
Okay, so there's no site we can point them to yet.
There's no there, no.
All right. Well, let me do this since we're just about out of time. Folks, you can read Jim Gaines' blog at TrueSlant.com/JimGaines, G-A-I-N-E-S. You can also follow him on Twitter at James R. Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S. I know you got it the first time. James R. Gaines on Twitter. And you want to mention? You mentioned a book. How long ago was that?
That was 2007, and it's called For Liberty and Glory, Washington, Lafayette, and Their Revolutions, from W.W. Norton. It's actually, I can't believe I was about to say, it's actually a really good book. But it is a good book, and it takes you through the relation between the American and French Revolution in a storytelling method and in a way that we don't learn in our schools. We learn the American Revolution in one semester, and we learn the French Revolution in another one, and we don't really, as a result, understand how intimately related they were. And they are intimately related through the characters of Washington and Lafayette in a way that I never knew until I started studying the subject, and I think it's a very compelling story.
Well, let me see what I can do to be helpful here. I actually had that up in front of me as an audiobook, but I wasn't sure that was yours.
That's me.
All right.
Me.
Well, let me see what we can do here, folks. You can certainly order Jim's book, For Liberty and Glory, Washington, Lafayette, and Their Revolutions, at MrMedia.com. We'll have the link there. But I will tell you that you can also order the audiobook from Audible.com for free by going to audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia. That's Mr. Media. And you can get this or any other free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia. For your free audiobook. And don't forget Jim's blog at TrueSlant.com. You can also read Mr. Media and subscribe to Mr. Media on TrueSlant. And Jim, it was fascinating to talk to you. I wish we had more time because I have a lot more questions.
Well, good. Let's do it another time.
That
thanks a lot
great.
For the opportunity.
My pleasure. Good luck with the new company, and thanks so much for being with us on Mr. Media today.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right. Pleasure. And folks, for more original interviews with America's top magazine editors, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the big cheeses at Cooking Light, Smithsonian, Playboy, and many more. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. Pardon me. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day to come hang out with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.